sitting on Plum Street in downtown Cincinnati in the shadow of City Hall and beside the Cincinnati Fire Museum is the Lloyd Library and Museum. They've got a fascinating rare books exhibit running through the end of February called What Makes the Reindeer Fly, curated by Anna Heron, who works at the library, and Nicholas Money. He's a professor up at Miami University. Welcome back to Around Cincinnati, Anna.
Thanks for having us back, Lee.
This exhibit displays rare books as well as art. Let's begin with the books. How many and what's the subject?
There are a little better than 24 books in the exhibit. They range from 1601 up to mid to late 20th century. So about 350 years worth of mushroom history. And that's the topic, primarily anything that we would consider magic mushrooms. The most familiar magic mushrooms in the New World are called psilocybes, and they come from Central and South America. But in the Old World, Europe, particularly Northern Europe, what would be now sort of Finland and Siberia, the most common is a very familiar-looking mushroom. It's called an Amanita, particularly the Amanita muscaria. And those are the pretty little ones that you see in kids' literature and toys with the red caps and the little white dots. And they look always happy, and there's little gnomes and fairies. But they can be quite poisonous and hallucinogenic.
There's a ceramic mushroom created by Gene Williamson, modeled after an Ohio native species of that one that you were just talking about. Where is that and what kind is that?
It's the same mushroom. It's the Amanita muscaria. In Europe, they're the familiar bright red. In Ohio and basically what would be the Midwest, the upper Midwest, you can also find it's the same species, but they're always kind of a yellow or orange color. It's the same mushroom, though.
Because many of the illustrations were a brighter red.
Right, and most of those publications are European.
I did think it was interesting that for centuries, research on mushrooms have been done throughout the world.
Our earliest book is 1601 in the exhibit. That's really the first studious mention of mushrooms. They had been known about for centuries and were the purview of wise women, shamans, sellers in the marketplaces, again, who would have been women and would have been collecting them wild. These weren't something that were cultivated and so were more easily discovered. But they start showing up a lot in marketplaces, and some information about potential medicinal use by these wise women gets out. And so the male scholars at the time kind of take it up as a subject, at least as an appendix for a while. These are not really quite plants, so they're not quite sure what to do with them. So they get added on as bits and pieces here and there, ones that they know for sure about. But there are thousands of species, and those early books really only cover a few dozen at best.
Speaking of one of those women, there was a black and white photograph in one of the books of one of the shamans down in southern Mexico.
Right, Maria Sabina. She was the shaman of her South Mexican native tribe. In the 1950s, she was discovered, for lack of a better word, by a fellow by the name of R. Gordon Wasson, who really birthed the study of mushrooms as an ethnographic field of endeavor. He discovered that she was using these psilocybe mushrooms, the really potent hallucinogenic mushrooms, and they were being used ritualistically to help people commune with the gods, with the spirit world, and as a way to get closer to God, which is the traditional use of hallucinogenic mushrooms everywhere. Wasson reported on this for the first time in Life magazine and then later in some book-length treatments. There was a flood of interest in these psilocybe mushrooms. It's actually kind of a tragic story. Maria Sabina, she had shared this information with him. Wasson had kind of promised to keep the source of the information secret. He took pictures of her and he said he wouldn't use them, but he did. And so then in the sort of growing counterculture of the late 50s, 1960s, floods of people went to southern Mexico. She ultimately was ostracized by her people as having kind of sold out. They burned her house down. It was a really kind of terrible event for her, ultimately, because she was really just trying to share her knowledge and explain to him what actually the benefit of the mushrooms was.
Don't you have three books by him in the exhibit?
We do. We have his sort of big seminal work, Mushrooms, Russia, and History, and that's on loan from the University of Cincinnati Archives. And then we have several other books by him, really because he is considered the father of ethnomycology. So whatever his personal behavior was relating to Sabina, in terms of his mark on mushrooms as a field of study, from that aspect, he's really important.
Are most of the books from your collection?
The only book in the exhibit that is not from our collection is The Mushrooms, Russia, and History. You mentioned the ceramic pieces. Those are on loan to us from the herbarium at Miami University. Everything else is pretty much from our collection.
And let's talk about the artwork that's
sure.
in a separate gallery. Even.
Right.
Tell us about that.
We have collaborated a few times with the Art Academy, particularly the Illustration 1 class led by Mark Thomas and Ken Henson. I approached them in the spring and said, we're going to do this. What do you think? They were really excited. Their class came in to the library in September, and for most of them, a first go at handling rare books and doing rare books research. They had a really good time. And then they brought their art in, and we were just blown away. It is amazing. There's a wide variety, a lot of it. These kids were not born in the 70s, but a lot of it, they've really captured the spirit of what's considered the psychedelic culture of the 70s. So there's a lot of kind of crazy colors, and they really played around with the whole idea of the hallucinogenic mushrooms, what the world might look like through that lens.
I liked Eric Olre's Fragility and Regrowth, which had mushrooms growing out from the wooden frame.
That is one of my favorite pieces. The art in the frame is great, but the whole piece, including the frame, is part of his concept.
And they're all for sale?
There are maybe like four that aren't, but most of them are. And we did sell a piece at the opening. So they're going, and they're really great pieces. Everything from still lifes to kind of psychedelic interpretations and reasonably priced.
And the books are divided into sections. It seemed like there were six different sections as you went through the exhibit. It started off with a general introduction.
Right. There's an introduction. Then there's a quick look at Wasson and where maybe he got some of his ideas about looking at mushrooms. In the 19th century, mushrooms figure prominently in a lot of popular literature. Alice in Wonderland, there's the whole, eat this side of the mushroom, you get small. Eat this side of the mushroom, you grow large. And there's a lot of debate about whether Lewis Carroll either read a lot about mushrooms or experimented himself, and that's where he got some of the imagery for Alice in Wonderland. There are other sort of fantastic pieces of literature throughout then the 19th century and into the early 20th century. And for the Lloyd Library, that means also John Murray Lloyd, who aside from being a pharmacist, also wrote fiction. And one of his most famous pieces is called Etta Dorpa. It's Aphrodite spelled backwards. In one really memorable scene in the book, a fellow who is in an underground, hidden environment is led by his guide through this larger-than-life mushroom forest. That scene is illustrated in the book by Augustus Knapp, who did a lot of illustrations for the Lloyds, and his Etta Dorpa pieces are really amazing. So we have one original piece that shows kind of the corner of the fungal forest and then the book illustration with the man being led through the giant, colossal fungal forest.
Mr. Knapp was a Kentucky native.
Correct. He was a Kentucky native. He studied here in Cincinnati with Frank Duveneck and those guys. had a very successful career at the what became U.S. Playing Card Company and did illustrations for other publishers and did a lot with the Lloyds.
Well, the exhibit What Makes the Reindeer Fly runs through February 28th at the Lloyd Library and Museum, 917 Plum Street in downtown Cincinnati. Ann Herron, curator, thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
You'll find a link to the Lloyd Library and everything you wanted to know about mushrooms at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.